morning today, beloved. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. I have a strange topic today the Lord's been dealing with me about for a while. One of the problems with our natural life, the life of Adam, is that because of our own compromises, we're not able to help anyone who is compromising with gentleness and with love. The Bible actually says that if we do not rebuke our brother when they sin, then we hate them. That's very strong words. And then in Galatians, he tells us that if we see a brother in sin, we should restore them, the spiritual ones, the ones who are walking with God, who are walking in the Spirit, who are walking in His gentleness and His love. They should restore such a person who's sinning, but do it in great gentleness and great love so that they won't also be tempted. Because when you judge somebody harshly and you rebuke somebody harshly, it opens the door to Satan to come into your life and cause you to stumble and end up doing the same thing you're judging somebody else for. And the Lord was dealing with me about this, that one of the worst things about compromising in our own life is it silences us. It keeps us from being able to help anyone who we see who's sinning. And when we see somebody sinning and doing something that's going to cause them harm, how unloving, how hateful is it for us to not want to help them? I mean, it's literally like watching somebody about to walk off of a cliff and you don't say a single word and they don't realize they're about to walk off the cliff. And this is where we're at when we have compromises in our life. You know, we hear scriptures like, judge not that you be not judged. And Jesus was talking about, matter of fact, he said in the passage, remove the log from your own eye first, and then you can help your brother see the splinter in his eye. You can help him take it out. You don't want to leave a splinter in your brother's eye because you have a log in yours. Jesus says, get it out of yours first. Get with God. You get spiritual. You get in the presence of God. You get clean. Walk with God so you can help your brother. And what's sad is that the life of Adam just doesn't help his brother. It just leaves a splinter in his brother's eye because it doesn't want to take the log out of its own eye. And so one of the things that is missing that I see possibly in my circles, maybe it's not in others, is loving, gentle rebuke when someone sins. It's like the church now is full of people doing all kinds of things that are clearly, I mean, adamantly and clearly against what God says to do in the Word of God. Adamantly and clearly against it. And yet we all just kind of ignore it, you know, and pray for them or something, or say, well, none of us are perfect. Or we say, judge not that you be not judged. And we're taking all those scriptures out of context. And what we're really doing is we are hating them by compromising in our own life. One of the greatest things about the life of Christ is that it's consecrated to God. And because it's consecrated to God, it can help others who are allowing things in their life that's going to harm and hurt them. You can't do that if you're not consecrated to God because your compromises. And I've seen this so many times. I've had friends and people in my life where I can see what they're doing is destroying them. You know, they're making decisions and doing things that are clearly against God's word, and they have all kinds of reasoning why they do it and why it's okay for them to do it. And I just kind of watch it happen and very seldom say anything about it, because when I want to say something about it, I think about myself. Yeah, I think about my own compromises. For example, I may want to rebuke somebody for watching something really bad, you know, like horror movies or pornography or whatever. But then if I'm watching things, maybe they're not as bad, but I know they're not good, then I won't say anything. Yeah, I won't say anything. There have been people. I remember one evangelist. God was. I'm not going to mention his name. But he was used in revival. A lot of people were getting saved. Everybody thought he was really amazing. He's a very spiritual guy, and he fell. He left his wife for a younger girl, prettier girl, and eventually he came back to God, and he said he started letting all kind of compromises in his life before that happened. And he said one was watching horror movies and all. And I don't even know why I'm talking about horror movies. I don't care nothing about that. I don't watch or look at none of that stuff. But that's just what he was saying, so it came to my mind. And he was talking about how he started opening the door to these different compromises in his life. What if somebody, maybe somebody did, but most likely they didn't, because he was spiritual and moving in the power of God, and he probably wouldn't have listened anyway. But what if he had a good friend that said, "Man, that's going to harm you, man. It's going to hurt you. It's going to destroy you." If he had a friend who was truly walking with Christ and truly walking in the Spirit, they might have been able to keep him from the great misery and sorrow and pain that he went into. I don't even hear of him anymore. I don't even know if he's alive. Some of these people end up killing themselves because of the deep, deep darkness and pain that results from going down the path of temptation and compromise in our lives. And there's all kinds of things like this in people's lives constantly today that's causing people to suffer greatly. And friend, the sorrows, oh my God, thank God the word said he bore our sorrows. But the sorrows of godlessness, once you've known the Lord and then you go into sin and you begin to lose your joy and your peace and your strength, oh, the sorrows that overtake you eventually. It can cause you to be suicidal. It can cause you to give up all hope, and it's terrible. Now, this is the path of all compromise eventually. It all leads to that. It all leads to darkness. It all leads to despair. It all leads to separation from God. And how much do we have to hate somebody to not get the sin out of our own life by the grace of God? To not walk in his presence and be consecrated to the Lord. How much do we have to hate somebody to not do that so that we can help them? We watch them walk off cliffs because we don't want to quit watching TV, or we don't want to quit looking at pornography, or we don't want to, quit doing things that God clearly says that we shouldn't do. And then because we want to hold on to our own sinfulness, we just watch people die. It's possibly one of the greatest sins, that there is because of our own compromises, we can't help other people. And friend, the word of God is very clear. If we see someone sinning, it's hatred to not rebuke them. It's hatred. But we should always, if we rebuke, we should do it because we have love for the person. We've developed some kind of relationship with them. You shouldn't rebuke worldly people. The Bible said you should not judge people outside the church. You should preach the gospel to them and tell them what sin is, but not personally rebuke them. You should never do that. But you should rebuke and judge those who are in the body. They're part of you. They're part of your body. They affect you, and they are hurting themselves and everybody around them. So we should talk to them. But only if we ourselves are spiritual. So this is one of the really good reasons. This is a great, I don't know how to word it, but this is one of the reasons that we need to get right with God. And we need to walk with God so that we can gently, lovingly warn people when what they're doing is going to cause them extreme pain and sorrow and misery. We should be able to warn them. We should be walking in a life that's clean, that's consecrated to God, the life of Jesus Christ. I know people can't handle this kind of stuff today because everything has to be pseudo-spiritual. I don't even know the word for it, but they can't even handle to talk about sin. And all these things are in the Word of God. This is Galatians. You see somebody sinning. Galatians, oh my goodness. Man, what a powerful book about not following the law and walking in the life of Christ. And then, bam, you see a brother sin. Let the one who's who's spiritual. Restore them in a spirit of meekness, lest you also be tempted. I mean, in the book of Galatians, it's telling us to rebuke other Christians for sinning. It's vitally important that the people you have relationships with in your life, that you live in Christ in such a way that you can love them enough to warn them and tell them what they're doing is against God, it's against Scripture, and it's going to cause them great pain. I remember years ago, the Lord told me to do this with one of my best friends at the time. He had bought his mom a house, and he had an influx of money. Well, when his influx of money ran out, he started taking back over her house. He actually went and mortgaged it to buy himself a Harley Davidson. And I said, man, I was hurt. Every time I saw him, I was just grieving. And I would go to his mom's house with him and saw her, saw the pain on her face. I mean, he brought her all the way from another state, bought her a house, paid cash for it. It was like back then it was only $50,000, $60,000, and he fixed it up into a really nice place. It was in a really good neighborhood, actually. And she was so happy. It was a small house, but she had never had her own house. She cried tears of joy and happiness. And then a couple years later, he's compromising. He starts smoking marijuana and doing different things. And next thing you know, he doesn't have any money coming in. And he goes and he mortgages his mom's house. It was still in his name. I guess he bought it. And he goes and mortgages her house to buy him a motorcycle. And man, eventually he had to sell the place and moved her back. And it was just so sad. It was so sad. But God told me, you've got to tell him. And I called, I said, brother, I got to tell you something, man. I love you, man. You know I love you. But I got to tell you something. What you're doing with your mom is wrong. You're hurting her, man. You gave her that house. It's not yours to mortgage. He said, man, you need to mind your own business. I said, I understand, man. I love you. And he went down a deep, deep, dark path, and he died, friend. He literally died. First, they had to cut his leg off. He got this bad diabetes, started eating his feet and his legs, and he was young. I'm about his age now when he died. They cut his leg off, and before he died, he called me, man. Please come talk to me. And he said, I'm so sorry, man. I let anger get a hold of me. I let sin get a hold of me. And he started calling all the people he had hurt, and he started repenting, and then he died. And I went to his funeral, and man, I still remember. I wish he was still here, man. I love that guy. He's a good friend, a very good friend. And I'm glad at the time, and I do think it had a difference. I do think it had. There wasn't anybody else. Matter of fact, he told me, he got so mad at me. He said, there's nobody else in my life religious like you are. Nobody tells me that kind of stuff. And then later, he calls me and said, thank you, man. Thank you for being there for me when he was dying. Well, man, I wish you would have listened before. What if there had been more people in his life? Actually, he did have one brother that was telling him the same thing, but his brother was mean. His brother was tough. He's a Marine. He was a sergeant in the police force after he got out of the Marines. So he did it in kind of a harsh way, but he loved his brother. And so there were two people in his life telling him. But what if he would have had other people in his life that were living consecrated enough to help him when he started going down that path, say, man, you're doing the wrong thing. And most people wouldn't say anything to him because they were compromising also. And so, friend, it's not a sin to help or to rebuke a brother for their sin. Matter of fact, it's a sin not to. And it's even more of a sin for you to be compromising where you can't. Because Jesus said, listen, do not judge someone else when you are walking in iniquity yourself. We have to allow the Lord to his life to live holy in us and pure in us and to turn away from things that are unclean and impure and that are damaging, not just for ourselves. And I'm not saying we can accomplish this in our natural life. That's why we had to die. It has to be through revelation. It has to be through the Word of God. It has to be through confessing what He's accomplished. It has to be through laying hold of His life. But all of these things are vitally important so that we can tell other people when they're going down a wrong path. We should definitely rebuke teachers. The Bible says people, the elders, should rebuke those that teach, that are saying things that are not right, that are not good, that aren't the truth, that aren't the Word of God. We have to tell them. It's extremely dangerous. I've told ministers, man, you're not teaching the Word of God. You're not teaching the Scripture. You're pulling it out of context, and you're using it for your own polluted desires. I've told them that in love. You know, I didn't say it just like that. I had many conversations and developed friendship and relationship, and said, man, listen, you know, we're going to be accountable. We, I always say we are going to be accountable for everything we do, especially if we're teaching others, especially if we're in positions of leadership. We're going to be accountable for these things. So, man, be cautious, you know, be sober, you know, be vigilant to do what God says to do. Study His Word to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, who rightly divides the Word. If you're going to pull a Scripture out and use it to teach, use it to preach, you better make sure that you understand its context, and you better make sure that you're not misleading people, because the Bible said those who teach, their condemnation will be greater. Paul said we should not all be teachers, for our condemnation as teachers will be greater. We suffer the greater condemnation. That's just plain Scripture. It's what it says. So those of us who teach, whether it be Sunday school or discipleship or pastoring or mentoring, those of us that do these things, we absolutely have to be careful that we're not teaching things out of context, that we're not telling people things that are not truly godly. And so if you're an elder, if you have a relationship with a teacher, you should tell them. But you yourself need to be gentle, and you need to be cautious, lest the devil take advantage of you. If you're being judgmental, the devil's going to hit you hard. But if you're truly loving, if you truly are loving your brother and loving your sister, and you truly don't want to see them in pain, and you don't want to see them go into destruction, then, friend, you have an obligation. You have an obligation to tell them what they're doing is going to harm them. If you don't, you absolutely hate them. You hate them because you want to hold on to your own iniquity. May God give us the grace to walk in His righteousness and to help our brothers and sisters see when they're not walking in His life, when they're walking in their own. And friend, it's not going to make you popular with those people at times. You may lose friends, but you'll gain them in the end. Better is an open rebuke than hidden love. There's no such thing as hidden love, really, but that's what the Proverbs talking about. You know, why hide? It's much better to openly tell them what they're doing than to hide your love for them. If you love them, tell them. If you love them, show them the error of their way. But make sure first that you are right with God, that you are in His presence, that you are walking with Him, and that your life is not riddled with compromise yourself. In Jesus' name. Strange message today, but hey, just say what I hear the Lord say. In Jesus' name, God bless you today. Amen.